to 2 Kings chapter 14. 2 Kings chapter 14. Appreciate the opportunity to stand before you once again. It's been probably a little bit over a year since I've been able to speak to you. Time doesn't come around very often for us that we have so many people here, which is a good thing. But I appreciate the opportunity, that the trust that the elders have put into me to bring another lesson from God's Word. Is the microphone not working? There it goes. All right. But again, like I said, I appreciate the faith and in me that the elders have given me this responsibility to speak to you once again. With all the things that's been spoken about with Jeff, being cognizant of our time and trying to stick to our time, I've had multiple comments this morning that I better keep it short. So fortunately, I've got a few minutes extra this morning, and I'll try not to take too long, but I wanted to tell several of those that it's been about a year since I spoke, so I'm going to take all the time I want to. But I'm not going to do that to you this morning. But if you will, turn to 2 Kings chapter 14. I want to speak to us this morning on a king that's not very well known, and his name is Amaziah. So many times, and I know personally myself, that we tend to just scan through those kings. They don't make a lot of sense to us. We can't pronounce their names, but there is so much that we can learn from them. Actually, Amaziah is only talked about in two chapters in the Old Testament. But with his life and what we'll look at this morning really applies to how we serve God today. And that's what I want to look at this morning. So let's read in 2 Kings chapter 14. 2 Kings chapter 14, starting in verse 1. In the second year of Joash, son of Jehoahaz, king of Israel, reigned Amaziah, the son of Joash, king of Judah. He was 25 years old when he began to reign, and reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Jehoiada of Jerusalem. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, yet not like David his father. He did according to all things as Joash his father did. Howbeit, the high places were not taken away, as yet the people did sacrifice and burn incense on the high places. And it came to pass, as soon as the kingdom was confirmed in his hand, that he slew his servants which had slain the king his father. But the children of the murderers he slew not, according unto that which was written in the book of the law of Moses, wherein the law commanded, saying, the father shall not be put to death for the children be put to death for the fathers, but every man shall be put to death for his own sin. He slew of Edom in the valley of Salt 10,000, and took Selah by war, and called the name of it Jokthil unto this day. Then Amaziah sent messengers to Joash, the son of Jehoahaz, son of Jehu, king of Israel, saying, come, let us look one another in the face. And Jehoash, the king of Israel, sent to Amaziah, king of Judah, saying, the thistle was this in Lebanon, sent to the cedar that was in Lebanon, saying, give thy daughter to my son to wife. And there passed by a wild beast that was in Lebanon, and trode down the thistle. Thou hast indeed smitten Edom, and thine heart has lifted thee up. Glory of this, and tarry at home, for why shouldest thou meddle to thy hurt, that thou shouldest fall, even thou, and Judah with thee? But Amaziah would not hear. Therefore Jehoash, king of Israel, went up, and he and Amaziah, king of Judah, looked one another in the face of Bethshemes, which belonged to Judah. And Judah was put to the worst before Israel, and they fled every man to their tents. And Jehoash, king of Israel, and took Amaziah of Judah, the son of Jehoash, the son of Ahaziah, at Bethshemes, and came to Jerusalem, and brake down the wall of Jerusalem from the gate of Ephraim unto the corner gate 400 cubits. And he took all the gold and silver and all the vessels that were found in the house of the Lord and in the treasures of the king's house and hostages, and returned to Samaria. Now the rest of the acts which he did and his might, how he fought with Amaziah, king of Judah, are they not written in the book of Chronicles of the kings of Israel? And Jehoash slept with his fathers and was buried in Samaria with the kings of Israel. And Jehoram his son reigned in his stead. And Amaziah, the son of Joash, king of Judah, lived after the death of Jehoash, son of Jehoahaz, king of Israel, 15 years. And the rest of the acts of Amaziah, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Judah? Now they made a conspiracy against him in Jerusalem, and he fled to Lachish. And they sent unto him after him to Lachish, and slew him there. And they brought him on horses, and he was buried in Jerusalem with his fathers in the city of David. As you can tell from the reading this morning, Amaziah got off to a great start as the king of Judah. The verse that we read in verse 3, he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord and did all things his father Joash had done. That says a lot about the kings of Judah. As you mentioned, as we read from time to time, the succession of kings, there's always a statement in there about their character. It would either say that they followed in the ways of Jeroboam, their father, or as far as this one, or they would always say that he did what was right in the sight of the Lord. And here it's mentioned about Amaziah, that he did which was right in the sight of the Lord. And it says he did what his father Joash did. If you remember Old Testament history, Joash, when he became king, set up worship again so that the priests could go in there and the Israelites could worship God like was commanded. So here we have some great things said about Amaziah. He got off to a great start. Verse 5, it came to pass as the kingdom was confirmed in his hand, he slew his servants. Smart move on a king. When the servants that killed his father, which was allowed by law, he took them out, killed them, so he could be safe and be able to serve on the throne. Still off to a great start. Verse 6, it's obvious that he was taught the law, the old law. Look what it says after he slew the servants. But the children of the murderers he slew not, according to that which was written in the book of the law of Moses, wherein the Lord commanded. He obviously was taught from a child from his father. He knew the law, he observed the law, and he carried it out according to as written. Again, a king with great potential. Off to a great start. Look at verse 7. Then he slew of Edom in the Valley of Salt 10,000 and took Selah by war. He amassed a great army for Judah, went to war, and took out the people of Edom in a great victory. Now, if we had to stop there, so far so good for Amaziah. He could have went into the annals of history probably being one of the best kings of Judah that they had ever had. But it's not how you start. It's how you finish. Now let's look at the rest of Amaziah's life. Verse 8 through 14. Again, after the great victory of Edom, off to a great start. What does he do? Instead of coming back and giving God the praises, he decides he wants to go to war with Israel. He's feeling real good about himself. Decides he wants to take on another battle. But what happened? He was wiped out. He was taken captive, brought back to Jerusalem, and humiliated in front of his very own people. Verse 19, he fell so far after that loss and taken into captivity that his own people conspired and took him out. Isn't it amazing that with a great start, with great potential, he's on fire for the Lord and serving as king of Judah, and to fall so far that his servants took him out? The question is how can a king with great promise have such a great fall? I believe the answer can be found in 2 Chronicles 25, which is the sister passage to the one that we read, 2 Chronicles 25. Turn over there if you will. And is found in this, and it's Paul Harvey. Many of you may not remember who that was, but he did a radio show. And he would always give these fascinating stories. And what was his famous quote? And now the rest of the story. 2 Chronicles fills us in. Can't get this to work. 2 Chronicles fills us in with the answer of how a king with great potential fell so easily. 2 Chronicles chapter 25. Now turn with me to verse 3. Now it came to pass when the kingdom was established to him that he slew his servants that he had killed. That's not the one I want. All right, here it is. Note verse 2. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, but not with a perfect heart. There's the key to the whole answer to Amaziah. He served, started off serving well. But what was the problem? He served with an imperfect heart. Now, do you remember Amaziah probably being brought up right with Scripture, with the old law, and knowing what to do with the servants' children, that he didn't kill them? I can almost guarantee you that he remembered Deuteronomy 5, or Deuteronomy 6, verses 5 and 6, where it said, "Thou shalt love the Lord with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might." I could almost guarantee he got that lesson. But as we see from Amaziah's life, that he fell far short of that. And if we don't fill up our hearts with the love of the Lord, then we leave room for other things to take over our heart, and it becomes imperfect. It can never be perfect if we don't fill it up with God. And this morning, I want to look at four suggestions of what happens when we serve God with an imperfect heart. And we learned this from Amaziah. The first one this morning is an imperfect heart clouds judgment. Back to the story of Amaziah in 2 Chronicles chapter 25 and verse 9. Look what it says here. You remember the battle that he's getting ready, and he amassed a great army of Judah, 300,000 people that he amassed. But what did he do? He hired 100,000 of the men of Israel, which he didn't need to do. Obviously, from Amaziah's life and what happened to him, he survived being killed, where he was able to take over the throne of God, or throne of Judah. God took care of him. He should know that you should be able to trust in God. But here we see some imperfect judgment coming on the scene. He hires 100,000. And what gives further interesting thing about him and his heart, notice what in verse 9, after the man of God comes to him and says, "Amaziah, you don't need to do this. You don't need to hire 100,000 men from Israel. Send them home." What does Amaziah say? In verse 9, "And Amaziah said to the man of God, 'But what shall we do for the 100 talents which I have given to them?'" You see his heart? You see his judgment? He's not worried about what God has told him, that you can do this. The end of that verse says, "The Lord is able to give you much more than what you've paid." But his heart's already focused on what he's put out there, money-wise. So his judgment is clouded. That's what happens when you don't put all your trust in God. It leaves room for other things. You do not have sound judgment. Fortunately, in this incident, Amaziah listened to him and sent him home. But as you can see, he was concerned about the money that he had already paid up. But how does that apply to us? We're the same way. Turn, if you will, to Hosea chapter 14. Hosea chapter 14 and verse 9. Notice what the Lord says here. "Who is wise? And he shall understand these things. Prudent, and he shall know them. For the ways of the Lord are right, and the just shall walk in them, but the transgressors shall fall in them." You know, when we don't totally immerse our hearts in the service of God and take all of his instruction and do what he has commanded, we stumble. And that's what we begin to see in Amaziah. So many times we don't fill up our hearts, and when we leave this church building Monday through Sunday and our hearts are not full and perfect on God, we tend to stumble. And I appreciate Shane this morning and so much what's been said about him and his heart, that he saw that he had made some bad judgment and missing. That's a lesson to us. So many times when we get away from God, get away from his teaching, get away from his people, we start to make bad decisions. That's an imperfect heart. And God doesn't accept an imperfect heart. Again, remember the command of Deuteronomy, of Moses in Deuteronomy, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart." We can't leave room for other things. Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto your own understanding. Amaziah started leaning on his own understanding. He thought that he could add 100,000 more and he was going to have a bigger victory. No one could take him down. He was leaning on his own understanding. And so many times we do that. We don't trust in what God has commanded us to do and told us to do. And after we don't start trusting in God, we start trusting in our own judgment. And I know from my life, I don't make very good decisions on my own. We have to depend on God. And in verse 6, in all thy ways acknowledge Him. And then who directs our path? God does. Amaziah should have listened to that. But he goes on and he has that great victory. But the second thing we learn from him is an imperfect heart lacks gratitude. He listened to the man of God and that advice of send those men of Israel home. Don't worry about that money. God's going to pay you back much more than that. And it happens. He wipes out Edom. And he comes back with a whole lot of spoils. But what does Amaziah do? What's his heart like? Look in verse 14. Back to 2 Chronicles in verse 14. Now it came to pass after that Amaziah was come from the slaughter of the Edomites, that he brought the gods of the children of Seir and set them up to be his gods, and bowed down himself before them and burned incense unto them. Now can you imagine? Amaziah just had one of the greatest victories he's ever been a part of. Wipes out the people, brings so much spoil back that he probably doesn't know what to do with. And is he thankful to God? Absolutely not. He is so bold that he brings the gods of the people of Seir, sets them up, and worships them. Now to me, that's a slap in the face to God. And that is pure ingratitude. That is so non-thankful for what God had done to him, done for him. Now he had to know that God had given him a great victory. I have no doubt in my mind that he knew this. But something was wrong. To go from that great victory and then to set up these gods that he had just defeated, the people of Edom worshiped that. That's an unthankful heart. But you know, I can't say a lot about him and criticize him that much because in our service, what about my heart? God has given us great things. He's given us great victories. First of all, John 3:16, everyone knows that. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. My, how thankful are we for that. But you know, we're so much like Amaziah with an imperfect heart. So many times we go out and live our lives that throws that sacrifice away. We don't think about it, except for what we just did earlier. When we gather around the table, is that the only time that we think about the great gift that was given to us? One with a perfect heart does. One with a perfect heart is always on our knees thanking God for the gift that he's given to us. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Look in verse 54. Notice what Paul says. So when this corruptible shall I put on incorruption, and this mortal shall I put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass that saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. How many of us are on our knees every morning thanking God the Father above, that I don't have to be afraid of death, that I know because of that sacrifice that I can get up every day knowing that I have victory. Shouldn't that have been the attitude of Amaziah? He had a great victory. All things were given to him. But he goes, sets up a false idol and worships that. How many times do we do that? James 1:17. James 1 and verse 17. Here James says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness nor shadow of turning. Brothers and sisters, everything that we have in this life is given to us from whom? It's God. Every morning, every night, how many of us with a perfect heart thanks God for the very breath that we have, for the very job that we have that provides for me and my family, for the clothes that we wear, for all the conveniences that we have? When do we thank Him? Or do we go to bed at night and not even say a thing about it? Those of us with imperfect hearts do that. We don't think anything about it. We may think at a time at the breakfast table or dinner table when we say blessing over the food, we may thank Him. But you know what? He's given so much to us. The least that we can do is thank Him for what He has done for us. An imperfect heart lacks gratitude. Amaziah taught us that. The third lesson. An imperfect heart refuses sound advice. Back over to 2 Chronicles chapter 25. And look at verse 16. After Amaziah set up this idol and did false worship, someone comes to him. And verse 16 it says, and it came to pass, and he talked with him. The king said unto him, after the prophet came and told him, asking what he was doing, Amaziah said, art thou made of the king's counsel? Forbear? Why shouldest thou be smitten? Then the prophet forbear and said, I know that God hath determined to destroy thee, because thou hast done this, and hast not hearkened unto my counsel. The prophet here is warning Amaziah, the things that you have done, you're not going to get by with it. Because of your heart, because you would not listen to me, I'm going to destroy you. What was Amaziah's attitude? Get away from me. Don't talk to me about this anymore. And the rest of the story is, because of that imperfect heart, he gets real proud of himself and decides he wants to take on a king of Israel. Not a smart move. He'd already been told that he's going to be destroyed. He should have listened and should have not went to war. And exactly what happened? He took on a king that was battle-tested. And the king of Israel tried to talk him out of it. Said, you don't want to do this. But because of his imperfect heart, he didn't listen to the advice given to him. He decides to go to battle with Israel, and he is totally destroyed and humiliated. The king of Judah drags him back. The king of Israel drags him back to Judah, to the capital, tears down his palaces, takes everything that he's got, parades him around in front of his very own people. That's a big-time fall for a proud king. And it's all because he didn't listen to sound advice. But you know what? We're so much the same way in our service. How many times are we told over and over again, listen to me? How many of us are parents? How many of us tell our kids that every day? Kids, listen to me. I know what I'm talking about. But so many times, what do they do? They don't listen to sound advice. They have to learn the hard way. Amaziah had to learn the hard way. And so do we in our service to God. Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs over and over. The writer, my son, heed my voice. Listen to this. Do this. Proverbs 4 and verse 13. Here the writer says, take fast or take firm hold of instruction. Let her not go. Keep her, for she is your life. Everything that God has told us and written in this book, we need to lay firm hold on it. We don't need to have an imperfect heart when we're listening to it, because that's when we fall. But if we're caught up in this book and in every decision that we make, we turn to this and we listen to God. And it keeps our life. He preserves us. Proverbs chapter 19. Proverbs chapter 19 and verse 20. Here again the writer says, hear counsel and receive instruction. Receive instruction that thou mayest be wise in the latter days. I'm sure Amaziah wished he would listen to instruction, because his latter days were not very good. Not a good time for him. Brethren, we have got to lay hold of instruction. I wonder how many times do we come to Bible class, young folks, older folks? How many times do we come to Bible class Sunday, Wednesday night, and listen to instruction over and over again? And what do we do with it? How many times do we listen to Jeff? Jeff preaches some great sermons, great advice. Other men that preach from time to time up here, great advice. How's our heart receiving them? Are we receiving them with a perfect heart or with an imperfect heart? Are we like Amaziah and that listening? Forget that stuff. Come Friday night, come Saturday night, I'm going to live it up. When we've heard lesson after lesson, the consequences of how we live our life outside this building. Are we wise? Or are we like Amaziah that tells the prophet to just get away from me? I have no need of what you have to say. An imperfect heart refuses sound advice. And the fourth and final lesson that we can probably learn from Amaziah this morning about an imperfect heart is that it destroys trust. 2 Chronicles chapter 25 and verse 27. 2 Chronicles 25 and verse 27. Now after the time that Amaziah did turn away from following the Lord, they made a conspiracy against him in Jerusalem, and he fled to Lachish. But they sent to Lachish after him and slew him there. My, what a mighty fall after a great start. Amaziah lost all trust in God. He was destroyed in battle and humiliated. He was taken off as hostage. And how does his life end? Somebody that didn't trust in the Lord. Could he have made a comeback? Absolutely. We all can. When we fall and when we don't do the things that are what God has commanded us to do, we fall. We're not perfect. But how is our trust in God? Do we trust Him that He can bring us back? Amaziah didn't. It said for the rest of his life that he did not do what the Lord commanded. And his own people took him out. Totally, his imperfect heart totally destroyed his trust in God. How are we with our hearts? How do we react when things are going so bad in our life There are going to be times when we have trials and tribulations. We're going to lose loved ones that are very close to us. We're going to have some bad things happen to us in life with our health. It seems like we're never going to get well. Do we trust in God? That He's going to pull us through that? After we have a humiliating loss like Amaziah did, are we just going to give up on God? An imperfect heart does. But if we have a perfect heart that's full of love for God, we're going to trust in Him, and He's going to pull us through. Turn, if you will, to 1 Timothy 4. 1 Timothy 4 and verse 10. Notice here Paul talking to Timothy says, "For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God." We trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially those that believe. Brothers and sisters, we can't give up when times get tough. When we're being hit in every direction, who is the only one that we can put our trust in? It's God. And you know why? 2 Samuel answers that question very easily. 2 Samuel chapter 22. Notice what Samuel says. "As for God, His way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. It's tested. And He is a buckler or a shield to all them that" what? "Trust in Him." That's what a perfect heart believes. That He is my defender, He is my Savior, and He will lead me through every battle. Amaziah didn't believe that. Amaziah had an imperfect heart. What about us this morning? Do you believe that God has proven Himself over and over again? All you got to do is pick up from the very beginning of the Bible and read it to the very end. God has proven Himself over and over again. And all we have to do is put our full trust in Him, and He'll take care of it. This morning, how is your heart? Are you loving God with all your heart, or is it imperfect? Like Amaziah, are we letting things creep in to take away our trust in God? Are we allowing our judgment to take over instead of listening to God's sound advice? Like Amaziah did? An imperfect heart completely destroyed a king with great potential. And what a sad ending. You know what? The same thing can happen to us in our service if we don't trust in the Lord and love Him with all our heart, all our soul, and all our might. God doesn't want someone who will not give their all. He gave us His all. We should expect nothing less than to give Him our all. You know, there's a term in poker that when you're dealt a hand and you think it is a hand that cannot be beat, there's a term that you use: "I'm all in." Amaziah wasn't all in when he took over as king. When you became a Christian, did you become all in? Or are you like Amaziah and have an imperfect heart? Have you started off great? Plenty of zeal, plenty of victories, but lately we've been slipping. That's an imperfect heart. But you know what? Unlike Amaziah, that we can change. We can get that heart back. And I want to close this morning with a verse that David used in Psalms. Psalms 51. Psalms chapter 51 and verse 10. David said, create in me a clean heart. And I believe he's saying, create in me a perfect heart. And God can do it. He can change each and every one of us. If you're subject to the gospel invitation this morning in any way, we ask that you come while we stand and sing.